Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the websites biography.com and sleepfoundation.org. Question number one. St. Patrick's Day is coming up this year, next Friday on March the 17th. Which of the following statements is true about St. Patrick? Is it A, he was Irish? Is it B, he drove the snakes into the sea? Was it C, the original color for St. Patrick was green? Or was it D, all of the above are true? Or was it E, none of the above is true? So what is the truth about St. Patrick anyway? And question number two, should you avoid REM? Is it A, not necessarily, their disco music is pretty good? Is it B, yes, this harmful sleep habit can and should be controlled? Is it C, yes, REM, reticulated elbow movement, is common among musicians, but it can be avoided and it can be treated? And finally, is it D, no, don't avoid REM, it's good for you whenever you doze off? So REM, avoid or welcome? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of March the 10th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1955, that the Dave Brubeck Quartet appeared for the first time at Carnegie Hall in New York City. The Take Five Group, 1955, today. And it was 8 years ago today, 2015, that the Texas State Legislature named Phil Collins an honorary Texan as a thank you for donating his expansive collection of Alamo and Texas Revolution-related artifacts to the Alamo. Phil Collins, honorary Texan, today in 2015. Leonard Skinner's Sweet Home Alabama introduces this transitions piece. Gary Rossington, last surviving original member of Leonard Skinner, dies at 71. This is written by A.D. Amorosi and Chris Willman, Variety.com, March the 5th, 2023. Guitarist and songwriter Gary Rossington, the last surviving founding member of Leonard Skinner, died Sunday at the age of 71. No immediate cause of death was given. Rossington had dealt with serious health issues in recent years, including emergency heart surgery in 2021, almost two decades after undergoing quintuple bypass surgery in 2003. The guitarist was known for contributing distinctive slide guitar parts to class songs like the band's anthemic Freebird, as part of what ultimately ended up being a triple guitar lineup, as well as for co-writing Skynyrd classics such as Sweet Home Alabama, the song playing in the background now. This year marks the 50th anniversary of the group's debut album, pronounced Leonard Skynyrd. Rossington had a number of cheating death experiences over the decades, most famously surviving the 1977 plane crash that killed the Florida rock band's lead vocalist, Ronnie Van Zant, guitarist Steve Gaines, backup singer Cassie Gaines, and several members of their road and flight crews. Before that, Rossington survived a horrific 1976 Ford Torino car accident that inspired their roaring cautionary tale, That Smell. "I don't think of it as tragedy, I think of it as life," Rossington told Rolling Stone upon the group's induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2006. "I think the good outweighs the bad." And in classical music news, we have this. Lately, we've read Women and Musical Salons in the Enlightenment. This was written by Rebecca Sipes, and it's reviewed here in the WCP Quarter Notes Spring 2023 issue by Dan McHugh. Dr. Rebecca Sipes specializes in the history of women and Judaism in classical music. As a harpsichordist and scholar, she has written extensively on salon culture in the 18th and 19th centuries and recorded albums with the Raritan Players, most recently in the salon of Madame Brion, Music and Friendship in Benjamin Franklin's Paris. Her new book, Women and Musical Salons in the Enlightenment, explores the overlooked role of the salon and the women who hosted them in the second half of the 18th century. Salons were fundamental to musical life during the Enlightenment. These liminal peace spaces, neither public nor private, filled in the gaps of royal courts, churches, and subscription concerts in 18th century Europe. Artists, intellectuals, scientists, the growing business class, musicians, and others gathered at salons for conversation, music, and food. Hostesses, known as salonières, exercised their agency on the boundary of the home and public life. Music was central to salon life, and the art of conversation can be clearly heard in the rhetorical style of composers such as Haydn and Boccherini. Women in Musical Salon in the Enlightenment is structured around the history of salon culture and focuses on different hostesses around Europe and America. Sarah Levy, a Jewish hostess in Berlin who studied with William Friedman Bach, collected a large music library and hosted events attended by both Christian and Jewish families. Another hostess, Madame Brion, befriended Benjamin Franklin, the American ambassador to France. Brion, a brilliant composer, owned keyboard instruments from across Europe and actively participated in the exchange of musical ideas across the Atlantic. While whisked away to the whimsical salon, we are also reminded that societal expectations still constrained women. For example, one hostess was rebuked by her father for establishing a subscription concert series because that business was not becoming of a lady. The strength of the book lies in Cyphus's engagement with recent scholarship. Setting aside the Beethoven hero narrative, Cyphus's exploration of music history from a social and cultural perspective opens the door to new ways of thinking about the past. Cyphus's analysis of the established historical narrative only adds to the enjoyment of the book. This book is recommended to anyone interested in a fresh perspective on the history of classical music. It includes portraits, musical examples, and an up-to-date bibliography, offers a completely new look at the accomplishments of women in music history, as well as how salons played an important role in the development of music and culture. For an even more interactive experience, listening to Cyphus's many recordings of music from this period is highly recommended. Savior Complex from 2020 introduces our rock and pop music news. It's an article from Time Magazine, March 20th, 23 issue, Women of the Year, Phoebe Bridgers, Singing the Truth, by Annabelle Guterman. 5 years since she launched her career, Bridgers, 28, has a dedicated base of fans who she thinks of as being like-minded. Sometimes speaking out on the issues that matter to her can feel like adding more noise to an echo chamber, but Bridgers believes that if you care about something, it's your responsibility to defend it. Bridgers has catapulted to indie rock stardom. In 2021, she was nominated for 4 Grammys, including Best New Artist. At the end of March, she'll release a new album, The Record, with Boy Genius, the supergroup formed by Bridgers, Julian Baker, and Lucy Dias. And in May, she'll join Taylor Swift for 12 stops on the stadium tour that broke Ticketmaster. "I try not to think about it that hard, or I'll freak out," she says. Bridgers' albums provide a cathartic soundtrack to those coming of age in a world that so often feels like it's falling apart. Through haunting songs that range from mellow to explosive, she nails the strange and specific sadness that accompanies living in an overwhelming time and the toll that takes on a person's mental health. And in local music news, we have this. J. Cole, Burna Boy, Usher, and Drake to headline 2023 Dreamville Festival in Raleigh. This is written by Anna Johnson, February 28, 2023, News and Observer. The two-day hip-hop, rap, and R&B music festival held at Dorothea Dix Park will include headliners such as Usher on Saturday and Burna Boy on Sunday. J. Cole, the festival and record label founder, will perform Sunday night with Drake as his special guest. The two will perform a medley of hits from each of their chart-topping catalogs, which collectively have come to define the sound of a generation, according to a news release. Burna Boy will headline and close out the second stage on Sunday, prior to J. Cole and Drake ending the weekend activities on the festival main stage. Tickets are on sale now for the April 1 and 2 festival, which has become one of the biggest music festivals in the state. More than 80,000 people attended in 2022. The lineup is a mix of artists assigned to Dreamville Records and some of Cole's favorite artists and collaborators. Day one artists include Usher, Lil Durk, Ari Lennox, City Girls, Sean Paul, Earth Gang, Jesse Reyes, Key Glock, Sir, Loot, Omen, Marcus Clay, and Victony. Day two artists include J. Cole, Drake, Summer Walker, J.I.D., Glorilla, Bass Waka Faka Flame, Mario, Ara Star, Baby Tate, Kaz, Jordan Ward, and Reuben Vincent. Find more information about the music festival at dreamvillefest.com. So, how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, St. Patrick's Day is coming up this year, next Friday, March the 17th. Which of the following statements is true about St. Patrick? A. He was Irish. B. He drove the snakes into the sea. C. The original color for St. Patrick was green. D. All of the above are true, or E, none of the above is true. Correct answer? Answer E, none of the above is actually true. As noted in a March 15, 2021 Biography.com article titled Four Little Known Facts About St. Patrick by Thad Morgan, with the arrival of St. Patrick's Day, paying partakers in the luckiest day of the year will break out the green face paint and four-leaf clovers to pay tribute to the fabled saint. But how many people really know what St. Patrick was all about? Number one, St. Patrick was not Irish. The biggest misconception about St. Patrick was that he was Irish. Born in England circa 385, St. Patrick didn't make his way to Ireland until Irish pirates kidnapped him at the age of 16. From there, he started his journey to converting the Irish to Christianity and becoming an Irish patron saint. Number two, the original color for St. Patrick's Day was not green. Green wasn't the original color used to represent St. Patrick. It was blue. After the Order of St. Patrick was established in 1783, the organization's color had to stand out from those that preceded it. And since dark green was already taken, the Order of St. Patrick went with blue. Number three, there were no snakes for St. Patrick to banish in Ireland. St. Patrick was known through folklore for having chased away snakes in Ireland, thus protecting townspeople from the mysterious creatures and sending them into the sea. However, Ireland did not have snakes at the time. Surrounded by icy water, Ireland was the last place that these cold-blooded reptiles would want to go. It's much more reasonable to think that the quote-unquote snakes that St. Patrick banished were representative of the Druids and pagans in Ireland, since they were considered evil. Number four, St. Patrick was never canonized by a pope. With all of this recent talk about popes, it's worth noting that St. Patrick never got canonized by one, making his saintly status somewhat questionable. In all fairness, St. Patrick wasn't the only saint that didn't go through a proper canonization. In the church's first millennium, there wasn't a formal canonization process at all, so most saints from that period were given the title if they were either martyrs or seen as extraordinarily holy. And the answer to our second question? Should you avoid REM? A, not necessary, because their disco music is pretty good. Or B, yes, this harmful sleep habit can and should be controlled. Or yes, REM, reticulated elbow movement, is common among musicians, but it can be avoided and treated. Or answer D, no, don't avoid REM. It's good for you when you doze off. Correct answer D, REM is good for you. As noted in a March 2, 2023 article titled, What is REM Sleep and How Much Do You Need? By Jay Summer in sleepfoundation.org, rapid eye movement, REM, sleep goes by many names, including active sleep, desynchronized sleep, paradoxical sleep, and dream sleep. Many people have been told REM sleep is the stage of sleep in which you dream, but REM is involved in a host of important functions, from brain development to emotional processing. Rapid eye movement, REM, sleep is a stage of sleep associated with dreaming and memory consolidation. During REM sleep, your eyes move rapidly behind your closed eyes. Your heart rate speeds up and your breathing becomes irregular. In contrast to other stages of sleep in which your brain waves slow down, your brain is highly active during REM sleep, and your brain waves become more variable. During REM sleep, much of your body operates similarly to how it does when you're awake, except your eyes are closed and you experience a temporary loss of muscle tone. All sleep is important, but REM sleep in particular plays an important role in dreaming, memory, emotional processing, and healthy brain development. A majority of your dreams do take place during REM sleep. However, REM is not the only stage in which dreams occur. That's actually a common myth about sleep. That said, the dreams you experience in REM sleep are usually more vivid than non-REM sleep dreams. Your brain processes emotions during REM sleep. REM sleep dreams, which are more vivid in REM sleep, may be involved in emotional processing. Also, your amygdala, the part of your brain that processes emotions, activates during REM sleep. During REM sleep, your brain processes new learnings and motor skills from the day, committing some to memory, maintaining others, and deciding which ones to delete. Some memory consolidation also takes place in deep sleep. Researchers hypothesize REM sleep promotes brain development since newborns spend most of their sleep time in REM. Adding to the evidence is that animals born with less developed brains, such as humans and puppies, spend even more time in REM sleep during infancy than those that are born with more developed brains, like horses and birds. REM sleep, through its activation of our central nervous system, might help us get ready to wake back up. This may explain why we spend increasing amounts of time in REM sleep as the night progresses, and why we are easier to wake up during this stage. We need the most REM sleep as infants and children when our brains are still developing. Newborn babies spend 8 hours in REM sleep each day. By adulthood, we only need an average of 2 hours of REM sleep each night. Multiple studies of both humans and animals suggest that being deprived of REM sleep interferes with memory formation. However, memory problems associated with the loss of REM sleep could be due to overall sleep disruption, since those often occur together. Also, studies of the few rare individuals who do not experience REM sleep show that they do not experience problems with memory or learning. That said, REM sleep deprivation disrupts the brain's activity to generate new cells. More research is needed to better understand the effects of REM sleep deprivation. Other research indicates that spending around 90 minutes in REM sleep each night is considered healthy for most adults, though it depends on the person. It has been known that worrying and stress can increase the intensity of REM sleep. If that intense dreaming goes on throughout the night, it can leave a person feeling exhausted and lacking motivation when they wake up. So basically, too much REM sleep is bad for us, just like too little is. By the way, it was on this very day back in 1991 that the REM album Out of Time was released. So let's close out today's program with the rock group's REM cover of a song created by John Lennon during his REM sleep that he titled Number 9 Dream. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure. Tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.